Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about the life landscape of laying marriage roots that can sustain us through all the rigorous challenges of family living. And you can find more video and course information at mystronghome.com.
The stages of marriage are an interesting topic. I remember as we worked our way into this, I think we were halfway through and I started realizing, oh, I'm talking to people who are older, there are people who are younger, and you actually go through different phases. Mm-hmm. And you know, these aren't meant to be like you're trying to decide which phase you're in. They're just general. Mm-hmm. And you'll get the idea as we talk about them, but it can be really helpful as you look at your stages of marriage.
And hopeful.
Yes. The first stage, and this is something that reflects to upon your children as well, the stage of growing up, mm-hmm. because this is where you kind of form your initial picture of what family life looks like, how you see your parents interact, your neighbors, your friends and their parents, and all those different things kind of become ingredients. So that's the first stage, is growing up. The second one is dating and courtship, and that's where all that experimenting happens, and you have all of those concerns about yourself as a person. You're trying to figure out where you fit in with all of the different personalities, mm-hmm. and all the data that you're taking in. So there's the dating, and then you finally make that decision to pursue a relationship, a permanent relationship, a marriage relationship with somebody, and that leads into a specific courtship.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, dating and courtship. The third one is commitment and building, and this happens once you find yourself in the same house, you realize that
once you've made your promises and now it's too late.
Now you have to keep them. Now you have to keep your promises.
That's what I mean.
Commitment and building is kind of a new phase when you realize that, okay, we're settling in now and we're going to have to figure this out and make it work. And then the final phase that we've discovered and that we've been in the midst of for a while is growing and persevering.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you persevere as a person and in your faith and at the same time continue to grow as a person? So stages of marriage: growing up, dating and courtship, commitment and building, and then the fourth one, growing and persevering. We'd like to talk a little bit about each one of those, mm-hmm. today, and kind of what that looked like for us.
Yeah, that first one, growing up, you know, we all have things that we carry from childhood. A lot of good things like commitment and communication and affection. But we can also bring anger or fatigue or abuse or neglect, all of those things. And it's easy when you're young to misunderstand that we take these perceptions with us through our life and also into our marriage. And we may assume that everyone has the same perceptions.
Well, and those are our roots that we're talking, mm-hmm. about. You know, they're the roots of our understanding, and whether they're being motivated by happiness, good feelings, or fear, because, mm-hmm. you don't want to recreate things. I know there are a number of things that, as we've raised our children, I did not want to duplicate, mm-hmm. about my growing up. But all of those things kind of make up that recipe that is your personal recipe.
Right. And here's an example. I'll tell you that I saw tempers flare only occasionally in my home.
I remember hearing that story.
I know, but I lived in what seemed sort of an idyllic place. All arguments were behind closed doors, or at least I assumed. So it appeared peaceful to me, except when someone received what I call the silent treatment. Then
yes.
You knew that things weren't going so well. But it wasn't until I got married to you that I realized I'd brought these perceptions and habits with me. And even though I knew that everyone didn't have the same experience as me, unless you've experienced it, you can't imagine what it does to you.
Right, right. You're kind of an uncharted waters.
So for me, what that meant was when we had our first big argument, I thought it meant we were getting divorced.
Right. I remember
Dave,
this conversation.
So Dave comes from a completely different background where they talk about everything.
There was no silent treatment on any level.
And so it was just shocking to me. And, you know, it's not just a one-time shock. That's something his perception, your perception, and mine were completely different. And to make those work together was a lot of work.
So understanding this aspect of family life as far as the stages of marriage can help you not only understand yourself, but help other people. And you're basically answering the question, what do I think that marriage involves? Because everybody forms that, mm-hmm. idea. Well, then you move into dating and courtship, and some of the things that you just described start getting worked out because you realize it's a big world out there and not everybody grew up like you did with the same you know, perspectives and the same values that mm-hmm. you do.
But you still don't talk about it probably as deeply. So you're starting to recognize it, but it's not as big of a deal in those relationships yet as it will become in a marriage.
Well, as you enter into puberty, you're experiencing such things as infatuation, understanding the basics and beginnings of commitment. So, you know, puberty, mm-hmm. puberty and beyond.
Well, in this stage, I will say dating and courtship in our culture is a long stage.
Yes.
Because you're talking about
and
puberty.
A messy one.
You're talking about puberty and then some people not getting married until 20 or 30. That's a long stage in our culture.
So during that time as that's unfolding, because that stage is so long. In mm-hmm. fact, I think I read a story once on, you know, there have not been teenagers, quote unquote.
In every culture.
In
like
every
we
culture,
have.
Historically, yeah. But so here we're concerned with acceptance, establishing and living up to values, developing interests, and experiencing the fulfillment of our needs through romance. And mm-hmm. we all have some kind of romantic idea about life. And so that creates expectations. Mm-hmm. And so during the dating and courtship, you're trying to figure out, what do I hope that marriage is going to bring to me in my life? And mm-hmm. and you're trying to get that sorted out.
And I think sometimes we belittle infatuation. And I don't really think we can or should, because without infatuation, we would never get married.
I don't think
married.
People would get married. Yeah, I think you, it's one of the phenomenon right now with, you know, when you are choosing to get married in your 30s, you mm-hmm. know, rather than in your 20s. Well, you know, you've had more time to think it through and you've watched a lot of other things going mm-hmm. on around you. So it gives a different take and a different perspective on it.
Right. And for me, my first infatuation was probably in fifth or sixth grade.
And you mean there was somebody before me?
There was. Maybe more than one. Anyway, I don't ever treat young people now like their first crushes are just, you know,
right.
just kind of wave them off, because those are the beginnings of them really figuring out what's important to them and like understanding infatuation, just what that is.
Well, what a great opportunity too for parents to get involved. You know, I read a book once called The Age of Opportunity, and it was about the teenage, years mm-hmm. and how you got to look at it like it's an opportunity. And this is one of the places where, you know, there's no way that a teenager is going to be experienced in the things of the world, even though all teenagers seem to think they're experienced and
well,
that their peers know more. But the reality is that during dating and courtship, there are a lot of opportunities to mentor, to encourage, not just your own children, but people around you.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, first stage of marriage, second of all, dating and courtship, all of this can be found, by the way, in our My Strong Home course, which we've got, it's a workshop. It's got different worksheets that you can work mm-hmm. your way through, as well as videos. You can find that at mystronghome.com anytime you want. The third area, and I think this is probably the most tricky, is when, and I think in business, we've had several businesses, and I remember when we bought the franchise, and you're into it after a while, and they call it the grind.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. You know?
Yeah.
The romance, the excitement is gone, and we're into the grind.
So here we face the realities of married life. The honeymoon's over. The newness is worn off. We either learn and grow, or we fail into independence and conflict of the will. And, you know, I can remember specific showdowns mm-hmm. that you and I had, not just with each other, but also with God and with ourselves, about whether or not we were going to be self-centered,
right,
or whether we were going to bend. Mm-hmm. And that was huge as far as our commitment and building to one another.
Yeah, this is also when we have to come face to face with the reality that we might be looking to our spouse for something he or she can't provide.
Yes.
Maybe it's something they can provide in the future, but just can't yet. Or it may be something you have to learn together. It may be out of reach for them for quite some time, but there are also things, questions that each of us have in our inner being that only God can answer. And this is the time we have to be really careful not to put pressure on our spouses to get something from them that we need to be getting from God.
Well said. And this is the time that we work to surrender to a new marriage system. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about our families of origin. It's time to accept and modify the two family systems that we brought into the relationship and basically solidify our mutual commitment to the purpose of our marriage and establish our own house, our own tent, as mm-hmm. it would have been called in the scriptures. Uh-huh. The idea was that, you know, you just didn't all live together in one big tent. You started out your family and you would cleave to each other and mm-hmm. become one flesh, and you would start a new home together.
Mm-hmm. And in doing that, it's also, this is now when the promises we made to each other on our wedding day, and we call them vows, but vows are really promises. I promise you that I will do this. And I don't know, I just think we say for better or worse, but inside sometimes I thought, I didn't really mean this much worse.
this much worser. Here we're answering the question in this third stage, what am I willing to give to my marriage? And, mm-hmm. and once I've decided that, rather than what I'm going to get,
right.
I think that really turned things around for us.
Yeah, and I think when we did that, what we discovered is that when we gave, the other person gave back. It's just that often when you get in that tense position.
Who's going to go first?
Yeah, you want somebody else to go first. And when you realize that you have to go first, it really, it's a good thing and it changes everything around.
So stage one, growing up. Stage two, dating and courtship. Number three is commitment and building. The fourth area, which we find ourselves in, you know, mm-hmm. we've made this transition from three to four, is growing and persevering. And deep and enduring affection characterizes this stage of marriage. This is when you realize that, you know, you're going to be the same people after 50 years that you were when you got married. But that doesn't mean you're going to look at life or approach life the same way. And there's that kind of affection, and our values and our interests are overlapping, and now we're sharing our lives with each other. That's mm-hmm. what growing, true growth and persevering, and this is really where, you know, when people don't go in a healthy way through those first three stages, you end up not growing and not persevering, and this is where divorce happens, and this is where, you know, going two different directions and being on two different planes.
Mm-hmm. And this seems like it comes well after 10 years. It seems to me that it often takes 10 years or more for a couple, along with their perspectives and baggage, to form a new family with its own unique qualities. It has to be a bit of you and a bit of me and a bit of something new we're coming up with together.
Yeah.
So that we have our new family. It doesn't mean that we throw everything of our past away, because number one, we can't. But it's really, we get to pick and choose and build something new.
That is the adventure. We're becoming older. You know, the other thing is that you also have a choice to turn and help those who are younger.
Mm-hmm.
We had this one good friend, he's gone now, but we used to ask him questions and he'd say, well, Dave, I can tell you what not to do.
Yeah.
And that was incredibly helpful, because what he was saying was that I've tried things and I'm happy to let you learn from my wisdom. We ask ourselves the question and hope we are happy with the answer. Am I able to appreciate and accept what my marriage is becoming?
And this is also the stage where, you remember when you were younger and you saw older people sitting together and eating in a restaurant and they weren't always talking and you thought, I don't know.
Why don't they just stay home?
Yeah. And now we realize we're kind of in that stage. Usually we talk when we're out, but every now and then I can read you and I know you're tired. Or we're just able to sit in companionable silence and it's just so comfortable. And you think, now this is a treasure.
Well, it is. And, you know, and where we really have fun with that is in our sense of humor and observing people. Because all we have to do is give each other a glance. We were at the ball field the other night with some of our grandkids, and you started laughing hysterically because of the situation we were in. And you were laughing at a number of people right in front of us, but it wasn't malicious.
But we knew. Yes, they were all the young players, and they'd had it, and they were all throwing dirt and kicking dirt, and they were just done.
You can find more family resources at mystronghome.com. Growing up, dating and courtship, commitment and building, growing and persevering. Fourstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you would like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to fourstream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at fourthstream.com.